15, verse number 13. Stand, please, while I read the Word of God. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Let's bow our heads just for a word of prayer. Father, you know my heart tonight. My sincere desire is to please you. And I pray in Jesus' name, God, we get everything else off our minds and hearts, centering in on this word of God. And I pray you get glory, speak to hearts, bring people to Jesus, stir us all, help us all. We'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. A friend of Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? A friend of Jesus. We talk about what a friend we have in Jesus. We've got a song that's by that title, and surely it's good. But I want you to look in chapter 15 with me just for a moment at verse number 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. There we're called branches. And we were a wild branch, but we were drafted into the tree. I thank God for that. Verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And there we're called disciples. And so we're in one scripture called the branches. Here we're called disciples. And then in the scripture I read to you, we're called friends. Again, verse number 15, well, verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. That's pretty good if you just took that verse and expounded on it for a while. Because God's calling us friends. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. I have called you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And I guess the thing that gripped my heart was that he called them friends. He calls us friends. And can you imagine the Lord of glory calling me his friend? Brother Alvin Fleming called me last night. And he does that once in a while, or I'll call him, and he is doing a little bit better. I report to you on that. Pray for him, though. He's still struggling a lot. But he's my friend, and he'll call me up and say, Preacher, I just think everyone wants to know how you're doing, and how's the church? He always asks me about the church. He's a friend. I appreciate friends, and I appreciate friends that are here. Are you my friends? And I appreciate that. But there's friends in other states that'll call. And I appreciate all those friends. And they're all important. They're all precious. But when I think about Jesus calling me his friend, a friend of Jesus. Hallelujah. Who's your best friend? Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, when you get to think about that, with friends, you share things. With friends, you really get down and share things that you wouldn't share otherwise with other people, with people you don't know very well. You open your heart. You're not afraid of them coming back at you with criticism or judging you on certain matters. You just share. And I'm glad we have a friend in Jesus. And he's our friend. We're his friend. And we can share with him whatever's on our heart. And we can tell him. And today as I was talking to him and sharing some things, I didn't know exactly how to say or what to say, but I'm glad I could call him my friend. I guess that's why it's on my heart so much tonight, that he is my friend. And friends will tell other people their plans, what their ambitions are, what they're expecting, what they're looking for, or what they would like to see happen and that kind of thing. Where you may be afraid to tell other people because they wouldn't understand it. Or they may think you're conceited or you're trying to do something you ought not be doing and all that. But Jesus said, I don't call you servants now. I'm going to call you my friend. And I'd like to be, he said, if you keep my commandments in verse 14, I'd like to be so obedient to him that he would gladly say, that's my friend, that he's my friend. And I believe, Brother Gary, we can do that. Amen. And he's our friend tonight. And he's making known unto these disciples here. He's making known unto them some truths. That's what I want to share with you real quickly tonight. Some truths that he's letting them know because they are his friends. First of all, I want you to know the wonder of heaven. He's chapter 14. We're going back to chapter 14 for a little bit. And verse 1 and 2. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't, by the way, it says mansions, not rooms. Amen. That's what the Bible says. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And, of course, we was preaching in a funeral service this afternoon, and I was talking about the wonder of heaven, the Father's house. And surely it is a wonder. And they just sung a song. Can't remember what the title of it was, but it certainly tied in what we were seeing there. And the streets of gold and gates. Hey, there's gates of pearl and mansions. Amen. It's a place more beautiful than anything we've ever seen or ever even thought about. And I praise God for the reality of that. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither have they entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I say hallelujah. I'm glad God's prepared a place for us. Amen. And it didn't even enter our mind. Well, I believe we would explode if we could really get a hold of that, of what God is preparing for us in heaven. You know, you enjoy down here being with your family. You enjoy being friends. You enjoy being at church. You have a good time, all of that. And then these troubles and trials come along with that. But I'm looking at the good things right now. I'm thinking about that. But just think about stepping into heaven. Amen. Into heaven where there is no sin. There's no ABC stores. There's no billboards that are ugly and lustful. There's none of that. There won't be any liquor signs up. There won't be any of that up. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I'd like to get out of this mess down here, amen. You can't drive down the road without seeing something, amen, that you ought not to see. But I'm glad, thank God, there's a place called heaven being prepared for us. And you know why he told me about it? Because he's my friend. Amen, he's my friend, and he told me all about it. As much as he knew I could take, he didn't tell me all about it because I couldn't take all about it. If he told me all about it, I'd explode it, amen. I could not take that, but I'm glad he told me enough to know I want to go there. And he talks about that city, and I touched on that, but and Bullet Ward had told me recently that I want to go home, I want to go there. I'm ready, I'm saved, ready to go. And we talked about that a little bit in the service, but I know we're not in a funeral service tonight, but as Bullet said that, would you say that tonight? If you was real sick, had cancer, and was dying, would you say, I know I'm saved, and I'm ready to go, and the fact is, I'm anxious to get there. I'm anxious to get it over with down here and go on home. And if you think about that, and if you could not say that, then you need to let God help you tonight, and he will if you'll let him. And then he talked about the way to heaven. He didn't just tell us about heaven. He told us how to get there. Look in verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. He didn't even hesitate about it. He didn't say, now, this is some way we can get there. This may be something we can do. But he said, I am the way. It wasn't a question mark about it. I may get you to heaven. I may be able to do that. That's not what he said. He said, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. I say glory to God. Amen. Allah can't save you. Confucius can't save you. Muhammad can't save anybody. Amen. But Jesus Christ can save. And he is the only way to heaven. And people all the time will bring it up somewhere along the way. If you talk to enough people, somebody will say to you, well, don't you think if they're sincere about their God, they just call him by a different name, it'll be all right. Don't you think that? No, I don't. No, I don't, because there's not but one name given under heaven whereby a man must be saved. That name is Jesus, and that's why we must proclaim the name of Jesus all around the world. That's why Southern Sudan said, send me missionary. They want somebody to come there and tell them about Jesus. And they were looking for something that's real. And they talked about the fact they've got a lot of people says they're Christians. What they mean is they're not Muslims. And they still don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Hey, they talk about America being a Christian nation. America is not a Christian nation. We are a nation that's going downhill fast, amen. But we got some good Christians in America and some good churches. Thank God for that. But I'm saying to you tonight that Jesus Christ is the only way. And some people think the church will get you there. And they think a preacher will get you there. And they think the water will get you there. I thought water would get you there. I'd get me some of you big fellas and I'd go out and grab us a few and duck them under. And by the way, we plan on baptizing Sunday night, so if y'all think that'll save them, we'll try to get some more in. Amen. But that won't save them. If they're not saved when they go in the water, they won't be saved when they come out of the water. Amen. All they do is go in a dry center, come out a wet center. But oh, praise God, if they've been saved, they're saying them God to go in a saint and come out a saint wet. Amen. Praise God. I started calling his name Vitaly. Is that right? I got it. Vitaly. And nice name I'm still working on. It'll take me a month of Sundays to get it, but amen. I appreciate that young man. I appreciate the fact he wants to follow the Lord in baptism. I'm glad, praise God, for people that want to do what God says. And I better not get on that right now. I got to get going here. But anyway, he tells about the way to heaven. You must be born again. And again, I report to you that you must. I know I preach it all the time. I'm going to keep on preaching it. You must be born again. It's not a matter of feel good. It's not a matter. I really got in a good service and they shouted and I went to the altar and I believe I got it. No. That's good and well in its place, but that's not how you get saved. You get saved because you see yourself lost without God, going to hell, and you realize that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he died on Calvary, was buried, rose again, and that you put your trust and faith in what Jesus did for you and get saved. Amen. I'm glad tonight. I know. And boy, the other morning, we had the radio on. My wife and I were sitting at a table, and somebody sang a song, "If anybody makes it, Lord, surely I will." I about had a fit. I wanted to throw my fork at the radio. If anybody makes it, Lord, surely I will. If working and praying has any reward. I tell you, that tore me up. Why, preacher? Number one, if working and praying working and praying does have reward if it's done because you love Jesus and done in the right way. And it is not if anybody makes it, because every saved person is going to make it. Amen. Every saved person is going to make it to heaven. So it's not if anybody makes it. And then turns right around and says, if anybody makes it, surely I will. And what they were saying is, I don't know who wrote the song. And I really don't care to know, but I know this. They surely wasn't thinking right, because what they're saying was, I'm so good. I don't want them other folk out there. How are they going to do? But I'm going to heaven. I'm so good. If anybody makes it, Lord, wasn't even sure anybody's going to make it. And that's he got off on the wrong foot to start with. He wasn't even sure he's going to make it. And then he said, surely I will. Well, anyway, I didn't preach that in a funeral, but it's good right here, right now. Amen. And I say, hallelujah. Praise God. It's good. All right. Then he talked about, and he revealed to him the work of the Spirit. Look in verse 14. And I'm sorry, verse 16 and 17 of chapter 14. And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye, hallelujah, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I say hallelujah, isn't that good? He said, I'm going to tell you about this comforter. He's one, and when Jesus is going away, he said, if I go away, I will send the comforter back to you. I'll not leave you comfortless. And I'm glad, praise God, he did send the Holy Spirit back in. You remember in Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I'll open the door, come in with him, sup with him, and he with me. And I realize they've been talking about the church at Laodicea, but in that verse of Scripture, he makes it personal, individual. He said, if any man, didn't say if the church, he said, if any man. Well, here, the church is made up of men and women. Amen. And so if anybody would hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him, sup with him, and he with me. Of course, in salvation, that's what happens. He knocks on the door. Jesus does not knock a door down. He knocks on it. He requests that you open the door. And you ever seen that picture painting where Jesus at the door knocking? There's no handle on the outside. Deliberately no handle on the outside. Has to be opened from the inside. The person on the inside has to open up. Let Jesus come in. And he said, I'll sup with you, but it won't be long. You'll be supping with me. He said, I'll come in as your guest, but before we get through, you'll be my guest. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, he sets a good table. Amen. And he fellowships well. He's my friend. And he told me about his father's house and a place he's going to prepare for us. He told me about that. He told me how to get there. And I said, hallelujah. That's a good friend to tell you how to get somewhere. And then he told me about a comforter going to come. Now, I want to show you something else. I want you to know the wealth of peace. Look in chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, don't be troubled over everything. Don't let it be afraid. He said, my peace I leave with you. And how in the world can you have peace in a world that is going to pieces? And all around you, you see and hear bad stuff all the time. How can you have real peace? Now, this is not peace with God. This is a peace of God. Peace with God is what you get when you get saved. Get peace with God. Therefore, justified by faith, we have peace with God. And so we have peace with God. But this is a peace of God. It is Jesus Christ, peace himself. Jesus didn't wring his hands over anything. Now, he prayed earnestly until his sweat became as great drops of blood, but he wasn't wringing his hands about it. He wasn't worried about it. He simply knew what he faced Calvary and would be made sin for us who knew no sin. But I want you to know that God doesn't wring his hand in heaven what's going on down here on earth. He's not concerned about all this stuff that we're concerned about, who's going to win the primary and who's going to get elected this, that, and the other. God put somebody in, take somebody out. He can do what he wants to, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. And America is getting what she asked for. And no use in fussing about that. I won't get into all that. I better get off that subject. But anyway, I'm telling you tonight, the only real peace there is the peace of God. I'm glad I'm pillowing my head tonight and be at peace with God. And then have the peace of God on the inside and go to sleep and enjoy Jesus. Amen. Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let your request be known in God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, man shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6, falling down through there. But let me give you the last thing. He gives us a wonderful promise, and I saved this one to last. Back up to verse number 3. And if I go, that's chapter 14 now. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will. Didn't say I may. I'll try, do my best. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He said, I'm coming back. Hallelujah. He's coming back. I told him this afternoon in the service that we'd finish that thought up at the cemetery. And Brother Tim sang that song, Resurrection Ground. Hallelujah. Resurrection Ground. What a place to be standing. And it was a beautiful afternoon. The sun was a-shining. And they was army men there in uniform to recognize Brother Bullitt's service in the service of our country. But I thought, man, if Jesus was to come right now, he'd outsound that trumpet that man's got. He'd outsound those guns they've got. It would have been, amen, a shout would have been made. And he wouldn't it be something to be standing at a cemetery on resurrection ground, and all of a sudden, that person in that hope chest, just, that's what it is, hope chest. All of a sudden, the person in that hope chest just come out, glorified. And you're standing there going, But you won't have much time to because it's going to happen in a moment. It'll be a short up. Amen. But wouldn't it be something to be standing there, because the dead shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him, clouds meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I say hallelujah tonight. I'm glad Jesus is my friend. You ever had a friend call you up and say, I'm going to come see you? And boy, you're looking for him to come, and your wife anyway, I don't know what you men do or not, but the wife, she'll start saying, I got to get this house picked up. I looked around and thought, we can't pick this house up, it's too big. No, I'm kidding. You know what I'm saying? She's saying, we got to do this and do that. Because our friends are coming. We got one coming better than our friends down here. Our best friend, is coming back to get us. And I don't want to be found dirty to you. I don't want to be found somewhere I ought not to be. I don't want to be found not trying to win somebody to Jesus, not caring about other people. I want to be found faithful when he comes. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight, God, for being my friend. And thank you, Lord, that you tell us in your word that Jesus revealed these things and let them be known to these disciples because he called them friends. Lord, thank you for that friendship. Thank you tonight, God, for the fellowship that we enjoy because of the friendship. Thank you tonight, God, for our friends that are here in this service. Thank you for all of our people. I pray you bless them. Touch their hearts. And tonight, Lord, maybe somebody here. There's somebody, God, that I've been praying for and asking you, God, to help them. I pray tonight be the night. Lord, precious one would come and let Jesus have his way. You do what you want to do in the service. Thank you for it. And I pray, God, for every heart, every individual, some trial, some sickness, some whatever. Help them in Jesus' name. Amen.